Beckman Unleashed, podcast number 50.
We are live.
Here's what we got. We are live, as Eric said, for the second time ever. We've got a special person for you, Garrett Wing.
Don't need that.
And we might have a kind of a little fun thing towards the end of the podcast. Maybe as Garrett's on, maybe after he gets off, we will see. But we're going to kind of do a fun thing. We'll spring it on you at that time. So we'll bring him on in a minute. We have some questions for Garrett. If you, page is,
well, he has DIY Canine and then American Standard.
American Standard is his YouTube, American Standard Canine and DIY. And he's got all these programs that are actually pretty awesome that you can buy, which is really a cool thing, you know? So first thing that we're going to do though, first thing I'm going to get into, I was thinking in the car on the way over here, and I was like, what is the broadest sort of statement that I can say that is going to help the most amount of people out there, but is something that people don't hear a lot? They might not want to hear, but it's going to help the most amount of people. And I thought of a lot of things. I was like, you know, your dog's not your kid. Blah, blah, blah. I thought all these things that are kind of things that people are going to go like, oh, wow. You know, no one's ever really said that. Not say people haven't said your dog isn't your kid. But I was kind of thinking about this. I think this is a statement that a lot of people need to hear. And that is that your dog's happiness should not be the most important thing to you. It shouldn't. I see people, they come out all the time, and it seems to be their main goal in life or their main goal with their dog is that their dog is happy. That shouldn't be it. I would argue that shouldn't be your main goal with your kids. It's not my main goal in my own life. There are many goals I have over my own happiness. Happiness has to be in there. As I get older, I try to get more happy, not less happy. As I have a little bit more money, I try to say, okay, well, if money's taken care of, maybe I can now enjoy things a little more. Is for my kids, is happiness more important than honesty? Maybe not. Is happiness more important than work ethic?
No.
Okay. You don't think it is. So even with your kids, your happiness may not be the most important thing. Why with our dogs are we just like so focused on them being happy all the time? How about if their loyalty is the most important thing to you? How about if their listening skills is the most important? How about if happiness is fourth on the list? Now you have this hierarchy in your head of like a rules to live by when you get that dog at 8 weeks old. And you go, this dog's joy is not my main concern in my life.
You're going deep on the philosophy today, bro.
Am I? Yeah.
So
it's just a sweeping thing that if people sort of started to think and go, oh, you know, this is more important than this, and this is more important than this, and happiness is up there, but man, maybe it's not the first thing. And whoever came up with the rule that a well-trained dog is a happy dog, I don't think they knew what they were talking about. I see, you know what a happy dog is? I walk into a house and the dog's doing sprints in the living room, jumping off the couch, springboarding off the people, launching up to lick the trainer in the face, and the dog running out the dog park and the dog running out the door and flying down the street. I see joy in that dog's eyes. Now, that's not good and the dog could die and all these things, but I see a happy dog when they are out of their minds. If my son, if I let him play video games all day, I would see a happy kid. That's what he wants to do. We have to stop him from doing that. Now, because it has byproducts and all these other things, you know, if he plays games all day, you're not setting him up for life. You're not setting your dog up for life if your whole goal is their happiness. How about your how about they should add to your life?
That's rather selfish of you, Joel.
Yeah. Well, you only have one of these things. It ends at about 80, maybe 90, maybe 100, maybe 40. It's going to end for you. And that would be nice to have an organism in your life. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. Maybe if it's your children, maybe it's your dog. These things that are close to you, you add to their life and they add to your life. And you say, well, the dog adds to my life. I stroke him when he's on the couch and he adds to my life. Well, maybe he can add to your life even more. All right. I just don't know if happiness your dog's happiness should be your main goal. And people come out to me and it seems to be their main goal, kind of, or the way the dog is, it seems like happiness has kind of been the focus a little bit, consciously or unconsciously.
Joel, yeah. I'm going to hide the comments from you if you keep
looking. I'm not looking. I haven't looked at a single one.
Keeping an eye.
I look at myself when I'm doing this podcast. So I stare at myself the whole time.
Are you drinking caffeine when you come here? I need to know.
Yeah, I was also listening to Pearl on YouTube.
Are we going there?
That's what got me going.
Okay.
So that girl just says it like it is, and people hate her for it, and people love her for it. And I'm weak, man. I get weak. I want everyone to like me. I'm not going to say this stuff. Dude, that's weak. I'm weak. I said it last week on the podcast. Didn't I say it last week? I'm
trying to be tougher.
I said, I'm not trying to be tougher. I'm trying to be honester.
Honester?
These
lives are
going
to be out of control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's the live. I'm excited about the live.
I like the live.
I do like it.
I think what we learned last time is we don't want to be getting too... We want to spend some time really digging into the comments, but we don't want to just be pulled just answering one question after another. No one liked that part.
They said, the last live, they said, you were looking at the comments too much and getting distracted. Oh, can I say something about comments before we bring Garrett on? There he is. Look at him. He's looking at himself or looking at his phone. Oh, thumbs up from Garrett. I don't know what I was going to say. See, that's the problem.
It was going to be really good, though, whatever you're going to say.
I don't know what I was going to say. Okay, I'm going to button up the happiness thing.
Okay.
I'm just, it's over. Think about it. All right. Oh, Joel, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, if Garrett said, Joel, you don't know what you're talking about, I would listen to him. If Caesar said, you don't know what you're talking about, I would listen to him, because I've seen Garrett's dog on videos. If you want to go look at my two Dobermans and arguably two of the best trained dogs on the internet, then, and you want to post a video of you with your two last dogs and say, look how amazing my dogs are, I will listen to you. But when people are like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm like, oh, your Instagram account's closed. You're nobody. You don't have the proof. My two dogs are all over the place on the internet. You can find them. And then I'm telling you my philosophy. Those are the dogs that were trained under my philosophy. And the proof's in the pudding. And there it is. And I have long form videos to show you. So.
And rant?
Rant ended. Your dog's happiness should not be the most important thing to you. You should add to their life. They should add to your life. You should have other things before their happiness. They are already happy animals, generally speaking. Don't worry about their happiness is the number one thing.
Okay. And in the right corner, the red corner, coming from North Carolina, the one and only.
Can I be like,
do this?
No. You can introduce him. Can I be like Bill O'Reilly? And when he gets on, go, okay, where did I go wrong? And then the guest tries to poke a hole in where Bill O'Reilly went wrong.
I feel like you just have to just go at him and just attack something really, really small that has like no value at all, just like most of those guys do on mainstream TV. Just pick a fight for no reason.
With Garrett?
Yeah. No?
I'm not
going to get clicks. Try to get...
Oh, we could get an argument.
Okay. Well, he's going to end up listening.
That's terrible.
And he can hear what we're saying.
No, he's hearing us right now.
Yeah. So
I'm going to ask him where I went wrong, and he can give his opinion on that.
Okay. And I won't quote his weight here. So anyways, we got Garrett Wing from American Standard Canine, also DIY Canine, which is, I think, his all the different videos and things that you can purchase that he has. Hailing from North Carolina.
The Tar Heel State,
right?
He's outside of Charlotte.
Outside of Charlotte.
The Tar Heel State.
We're super glad that he's on here.
Let's bring him
to
on.
Grace you guys with a present. Enter Garrett.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, gentlemen?
How are good.
You? Good.
How thank are you, okay. Thank you.
All right, Garrett. So you heard my rant. It was somewhat thought out. It wasn't perfectly thought out. I want to hear if you kind of agree with it, don't agree with it, or what. Did you hear?
I actually do agree with it. Surprise, surprise, right? Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you on that one. I'm looking for a reason too, and I just can't. I think you hit the nail on the head. I would add to it, if anything, but most people actually don't allow their dogs to live their best life because they're showering that dog with literally too much affection, not giving the dog a job to do. I think I always like to use human examples. You could provide everything to your child. You can spoil them and you could just do everything for them. Make sure they're the happiest, right? The type of child that we give like those 10th place trophies to, and make sure they never get into trouble. And no, don't worry about working hard, and don't worry about making your own food or doing your own laundry or cleaning up your own room. We'll handle all of that for you. And then the kid grows up to be 25 years old living in your basement because they don't have a purpose in life. They don't have a job. Well, you provided everything to them. You see where I'm going with that? Like, is your child better off because you did everything for them? No, I would argue that being a little harder on your kids sometimes, showing them the right way to do things, making them clean up their room and brush their teeth and finish their homework. Yeah, it's a little stressful for them. Yeah, it's a little stressful, but a little bit of stress, right? A little bit of pressure can go a long way to making sure your kid excels in life. And I want to say it's the same thing with your dog. You know, we get a lot of grief sometimes for being hard on dogs or putting a little pressure on them. And it's like, it's called life, baby. And then they come out of it better prepared for life in general. Yeah. We're talking about dogs now. So, you know, some dogs are just, we see these owners who are, I just don't know what to do. He won't listen to me. This is too crazy. And you put like this much pressure on the dog. Like you always mentioned Cesar Millan, the guy is pretty much hands off, just straight spatial pressure. And the dogs are like, well, I've never experienced this in my life.
Yeah.
And then that little bit of pressure, they become a better dog. And then we always say a better dog provides them the opportunity to live a better life, because you can't take that crazy dog of yours that don't listen to nobody, that's 100 miles an hour all the time, jumping on people, not listening to anyone, dragging you on a leash. Those are the type of dogs that you can't take anywhere. Or you got to lock up in a crate when people come over. So that's my thought on it.
Yep. You mentioned something interesting that we talked about in an earlier podcast many, many months ago. And it was like, I've done this with my dogs just kind of weirdly, naturally, is sort of the not giving a lot of affection all the time. Once you do that, you can use affection as a reinforcement. And you really can't if it's given all the time. It's just, you have to find other forms of reinforcement, but affection can become reinforcement, but you don't have to, if you don't use it all the time, is the only way you can use it as reinforcement, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that too. And surprisingly, and again, it's always my background in police work where we have to be a little hard on those dogs, because those dogs are just full tilt. We have to be the brakes. They got plenty of gas. Yeah. We're mostly just trying to cap that drive and slow them down a little bit. And you'd be surprised that, especially when we have owners over and they're doing, they did all the love, they did all the affection, and yet they're still here in our program because the love and the affection and treats didn't work. And then we're just a little hard on the dog. And by being hard, I'm just like demanding that they just do something. It could be as simple as like, just maintain the sit. That's all I need from you. Just give me a sit. If you don't do the sit, I'm going to pressure you back into the sit. You just got to hold the sit. Now, if you do a good job, I'll pay you. But if you mess up, we'll pressure you back into doing a good job so I can continue to pay you. My point being, the dogs, when it's all said and done, you know who they're loving on? Me, the bad guy.
It is weird, isn't it?
They love leadership. And they're like, oh, for the first time in my life, someone I could look up to. And they suck up to you. And I'm like, and I always point out, I'm like, see, I was hard on this dog. Look who he's hanging out with. He ain't hanging out with you. But, and then I think you're right too, man. If you're just giving love 24/7, like, well, how do you differentiate between, like, you're doing good now and you're doing better later? Or, I'll tell you this too, man, with Thanos and my police dogs, my wife gets so jealous. She's the one giving the belly scratches and the ear rubbing and the treats and the food. But she cannot figure out why those dogs love me more than her, you know? Yeah. So go figure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, here's one thing I was thinking about you is like, you've been on twice now. What did you do? You left the police canine unit or being a cop. I don't remember. I feel like you went into working or helping the certain police units, like with their dogs. Like, when did you transfer to like dog? When did you get out of that and transfer to dog training? I mean, you were dog training, but like, and then what did you do? Did you go to people's homes? What did you do? Tell me that.
Yeah. I think it's about 5 years ago now. I'm really bad about like timelines and stuff, but about 5 years ago, I was maybe 16 years into my career in law enforcement at the City of Miami Police Department. I was a lieutenant, I believe, at the time. This is when I transitioned into pet training about 5 years ago.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Five years
ago. So, and Yeah, about 5 years ago, I transitioned to pet training. Prior to that, police canine handler, police canine supervisor, and then me and my business partner started doing police canine training and consulting. We travel the country, go to different police departments, and help them improve their unit by whether we're talking about obedience. More importantly, my preference when we could teach it was tactical tracking. We had another training class that we love to teach was what we call street-worthy canine. Just get the dogs better prepared for the street. The street-worthy canine was just focused on getting the dogs to be better. The tactical tracking almost had nothing to do with the dogs. The dogs already knew what they were doing. It was the man or woman behind the leash. We were trying to get them to use their brain so they wouldn't get shot in the line of work. How to read their dogs better, how to pinpoint where the bad guy is up to 100-300 yards away without having to basically step right on them and find out you're on them. And in other words, just keeping them safe. So love doing that. Not a lot of money in it. Just not a lot of money, to be honest with you. And the travel time, it wouldn't work because in order to make the money, I'd have to travel. But in order to travel, I'd have to take time off work. So it's kind of, it didn't make sense. Still do that. Love doing that. Do it more as a passion project now. But while we're doing that, everybody in our police department was like, oh, bro, you train dogs? You know, can you train my poodle? Can you train my this and that? And I would always say, nah, man, I don't want to water down my badass police canine training company training your doodle. But push came to shove. And again, about 5 years ago, we made the transition. And I just, it started with just one dog. I was like, all right, what's the worst that'll happen? I'll train one dog.
Yeah.
And then one dog turned into nonstop, man. It just,
did they
we
send
opened
the,
up Pandora's box.
Did they send the dog to you? Did you go to their home? Did you do a mix? What was
I
like
think the
first five dogs or whatever?
Sure. So the very first client was a private training at their home, right? Yeah. And mind you, I'm starting from scratch. I don't have a mentor in the business.
But you're not.
I'm just like.
But that canine stuff, it's like my killer whale stuff or my wolf stuff. And I know you know that, but like, we both started from scratch with pet stuff, but that learning beforehand was like weirdly, like unbelievably valuable. And then it just, it does transfer, but we both had to learn a lot, but like you were ready for it. And then the pet stuff, I'm not saying it's easy, but like you just worked with so many damn dogs before that, you know?
Right. Well, what I meant more is on the business side. I didn't have anyone mentoring me in the business aspect, like saying, hey, Garrett, you probably don't want to do private training because, you know, there's a better way, you know. So I started with private training and realized, like, it doesn't matter. I'm pouring my heart and soul into it, but 1 hour a week doesn't really transform a dog. I found that I was training the owners more. So anyways, I realized very quickly, like, if I want these dogs to get where I want them to be in a shortest time possible to be efficient. Immediately, my second dog was a board and train. And then that's it. I'd just been doing nonstop board and trains with our random private training here and there. But those private trainings were very different. I'd never did private trainings where a lot of folks do, probably not too dissimilar to what you do. Most private trainings are like, hey, sign up for 8 weeks, 1 hour a week for 8 weeks, and we'll do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I was not about that. I'm like, look, if you're going to come to me, we're going to do it all in one lesson. So my private trainings were like 3, 4, 5 hours long, one lesson. And I'm like, I don't want you to sign up for weeks at a time. If I can't fix your issues in one training session, you don't deserve to pay me. I'm not trying to have you come back multiple times. I'm like, you're going to come, we're going to get you dialed in and off you go. But the bulk of it was boarding and training. And then that's all we've stuck with now, boarding and training. And then obviously into the online stuff.
Yeah. And man, I watch your videos and you are so, he's so good with dogs, dude. Like, I don't want to just bring up the few that I commented on, but I comment on your shorts and like, you had those two little dogs, like in the Target thing on the Target under there, which you got some heat for, by the way. I looked in the comments. They're like, you shouldn't have dogs in comment and Target. And one of them, you're like, shut the hell up, dude. You got a little heat, a lot of heat, little, right? You didn't get a lot of heat for that.
It's from the, there's a little small community of people who wrap in and tie in their identity to their service dog. Very small community, but they're rabid, baby. They're rabid. So once they find one of my videos where I'm violating some nonsense, they said I broke the law. I didn't break the law. I may have violated Target's policy.
Yeah, that's not the same.
But guess
thing.
What? The Target people are high-fiving me because they haven't seen a dog so well behaved in their life, let alone two of them. So by the way, these are service dogs in training, by the way. So I don't want to get into it because you're going to make open up a can of worms where I'm gonna set these people straight. But yeah, it's a very small community of, and I'm not saying all service dog people are like this. I'm saying there's a small community of, we'll say very special people, very special people.
right,
that should just probably just keep petting their dog and let that dog provide the service that it's supposed to do, rather getting on the keyboard and, oh, Garrett, once again. So then I had one of them reach out to me and DM me and said, you know what you should be doing, you know, with someone of a channel of your size, you should know better. Because when they see you and your dog with Target, obviously you're sending a message that it's okay for everybody to bring their dog into Target. I'm like, but you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So I show the example of having a very well-trained dog performing beautifully in Target, all of them service dogs, and yet somehow I'm breaking the law. Like, hey, if I'm breaking the law, do me a favor, call 911. I'll wait for the police to show up because I took a well-trained dog into Target.
I don't
waste my time with that. And then I love when people tell me what I should be doing with my channel. You should know better. You know, if I was the host of your channel, I would do this. I'm like, congratulations, baby. Go be the host of whatever channel you like, and then you can say whatever you want to say. So you're never going to please everyone. I think you touched on that earlier, right? You said that earlier with this person, Pearl. I don't know who that is, but you're going to offend people. Some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to love it. You know what? You know what,
Joel? People are offended in the comments that you brought it up. So,
I haven't read the comments. What, Garrett? You're going to say something. Sorry.
Hey, all you can do is be you. If I offend you, I'm sorry that I'm not sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly right.
I got a quick question for Garrett. I want to dive right into this.
Go ahead.
What's your take on people talking about licensing dogs? So like, are people so terrible with dogs that they need to have like some structured licensing program, or are there certain breeds that probably should have some level of competency before they're allowed to actually adopt?
It's a big question.
It really is, man.
Controversy.
Oh, it's broad. No, it's broad. There's a lot to it. And go
agreed.
Ahead.
Initially, your initial thoughts are like, well, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm a big pro Second Amendment type of guy. And right. Once you start, because it comes to this, once you start licensing or asking people to be licensed, it's like, well, who's going to be the determinant of whether you're licensed or not? And it always goes back to the government. And unfortunately, having worked in the government, I'm here to tell you, like, that's the last person I need dictating what I can and cannot do with my dog or what kind of dog I should or should not own. So like on the surface, I'm like, yeah, that would make a ton of sense. It would make a ton of sense, but there's always going to be ways around it. So no, generally speaking, I don't need the government telling me what I can or can't do. And again, you open up Pandora's box, because I'll just ask you, like, let's say there has to be a license for, you know where I'm at on this, Cane Corsos. I really don't think a lot of people should own them. Most people can't handle them. It's too much dog. Okay. Well, who then is in charge of deciding whether or not someone should own one or not? And then where it's going to get real funky. I'm assuming part of that licensing would state that you need X training. Well, what is X training? Is it going to your local big box store, pet store?
And DIY Canine. Go check out the website.
Yeah, maybe it should be. Yeah, DIY Canine. But even then, I think we have some of the best courses on the market. But just because you took the course doesn't mean you're qualified. You could be click play and not even watch the stuff. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean you're qualified to handle it. So I don't know. My gut tells me no. I don't need who's the governing body. You know what I'm saying? And then when you start doing that, it gets very political very quickly. That's my point.
Oh yeah.
Because there are some forces out there that are trying to do that, and I believe that happened in Germany, where in order to become a professional dog trainer, you need to be licensed. But the person that gives out the licensing is positive only. So you would never get a license in Germany, Joel. You would not.
No, I would not. I could pass the test.
They saw who you were or what you were about, you would not be licensed. You'd be pulled. Right?
No. Yeah, of course not.
So, Garrett, can I push back on this a little bit? So what if you have a breed, obviously pit bulls are very friendly, but a breed, let's just say pit bulls as an example, which let's say they killed a certain number of people. 50, 100 a year, you know, let's say it was more, but let's say it was 10,000 as an example, right? At a certain level, would it be like, okay, this is out of control. These, these dogs are just killing a certain number to where we like something has to be done. So let's say it could be administered properly. Is there ever a reason why maybe they breed like some crazy dog that's like 3x bigger than a Conte Corso, right? Now it looks like a damn horse, right? Is there a point where you're like, this is like a weapon. This is like, we need to do something about it. Does that change your mind at all? No?
That's back to it, you know, and go ahead, Joel.
That's the craziest example ever. You're like, what if they bred a pit bull the size of a horse, Garrett?
They're going to eventually.
Go ahead.
Man, they're getting there. Some of those dogs, that Alibi, the Central Asian Shepherd, Kangles,
right.
Big ass dogs.
We just
man.
Don't see big them dogs. Around here. But yeah, no, we I guess you're them. Right. All right. All right. Can I give my opinion?
Are you,
this is my podcast. I guess I should.
Are you certified by German authorities?
I'm not.
Okay.
So I, as Garrett was talking, I thought I was thinking the exact same thing. Like exactly. Like it sounds nice. Then you get the certifying bodies involved and the government involved, and it just simply does not work. What I think there should be no, there should be total free speech around the subject. So if you want to get on Twitter and you want to say this breed should be banned or this breed should not, like we should have a totally open and honest conversation about the dogs and the Conte Corsos, and people like Garrett should come on and say 99%, 99.9 is what he said in a video, percent of people should not own this breed. He can do that and he should do that. And we should move the needle in this sort of holistic free speech way, not move the needle with the governing bodies. Plus, if with social pressure. So if I'm driving down the street and I see some giant dog that if it gets out of the lady's hands, it's going to go attack that other dog as she's watching it. I should go, hey, lady, get your effing dog some training or and like there's some social, some social pressure that my daughter surfs, Garrett. And surfing is this interesting sort of sport where the water sort of polices itself. And you see the videos online sometimes in Hawaii. These guys aren't messing around. If you shouldn't be out there, you might get whooped on the way in. If you know what I'm saying? Like if you're doing stuff out there, there's still this policing aspect to surfing that's very interesting. And it's probably a good thing, or else it's chaos out there. And if we're going to we can let everyone have the dogs they want, but those people who are messing it up for everyone else, they need to feel some social pressure to then call that dog trainer or to get the right dog the next time. And there should be sort of openness and honesty where there are not any closed subjects. You know, you should not get shouted down in the comments of anywhere if you say something controversial about breeds being banned or breeds not being banned or whatever. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm with you, Garrett. I'm like, sounds nice, probably not. But I think there does need to be some sort of social pressure that is applied when someone is doing the wrong thing out in the world or in their house or something. Like, I'll give a quick example. There was a party with our good friends. He had just got a Newfoundland doodle, right?
Okay.
Think of a more difficult dog than a Newfoundland doodle. Like they're out there, but that's not an easy dog. Newfies are not easy dogs. And the dog was 9 months old, so it's kind of out of its mind, and it was big. And it was like getting on the table. It's kind of this low outdoor table. And I looked at my friend, and I go, do you want me to help you? And he goes, yes. And I go, wham. And I clapped my hands and I grabbed him and I got off the table and I sat him down. And was he perfect after that? No. Was he 80% better? Yes. He would go up to that table and he'd kind of look at mean guy right there. And it was like, it was a bit bold. And I asked the guy if I could do it, or I said, do you want help? And he said, yes. And then I went, wham. And I did it. So it was like kind of a not cool thing to do at a party. But like, it is my job. Like it's what I'm good at, and he needed help. And so I did it, but nobody's going to do that at a party, but we should all be doing that at a party.
We should correct people's dogs at a party.
Sure. Correct people's kids, dude. Like, I don't really care if a kid's acting a fool. Hey, John, get a hold of your kid, dude. He's punching other kids. What's wrong with you, bro? Yeah, he's not going to be your friend anymore. That guy will not be your friend anymore. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But it's possible that kid doesn't go punch other kids. And kids punch each other. I get it's a thing. But like, How about social pressure on some of this stuff and get the government out of it and get social pressure back into it?
But so you want it to be
is
like
that the right word? Social pressure.
Yeah, you want it to be like Thunderdome, yeah. Basically, because
a little bit Thunderdome-ish.
You know, like from your old example school. About surfing, like basically, if you do the wrong things, even if you don't know what the right or wrong thing is in surfing, like they'll try to run you over with the surfboard while you're
in Hawaii. In there.
And they will also beat the crap out of you.
If you're not humble, if you don't listen, they won't beat you up. The Hawaiians won't like beat you up for just being out there. If you're like,
no, but if you're like dropping in on people, they
multiple
will
multiple times.
Yeah. They'll beat you up. And then, you know, in Hawaii, they have the whole wolf pack and stuff. These guys will like literally beat the crap out of you.
Well, they don't beat you
up. Is that what you're
asking
for? Are you,
they don't beat
you
up for paddling out. They beat you up for being obstinate out there, for not listening, for not, yes, it's a bit much sometimes. It's the only way to control this dangerous sport. Fins hit people in the neck and they die.
So you're saying power to the people is what you're
saying. There's serious consequences to this dog stuff. There's serious consequences to this surfing stuff. There's serious consequences to a lot of these things. And people have to police their own gear. I don't know if you saw it a while ago. Like I was in a homeless fight on the beach. The cops did nothing. I was helping a guy with a homeless guy. Cops did nothing, bro. We're kind of in this on our own in a way. Not you out in North Carolina, right? Living the dream, but us here in California, it's a little different. And so like, I'm kind of in this whole, like people have to stand up and I know you agree with that. People have to stand up and sort of police our own society a little bit. And I don't know why the dog training world or the dog world would be much different.
I agree 100%. I mean, you look at what's happening in the UK, where they're outlawing certain breeds, there's always a way around it, right? That's where they'll just come up with a different variation of the breed. Or do you imagine relying on the DMV or the people at the DMV to tell you whether or not you're qualified to own a dog, or now you got to wait in line? And the laws exist, by the way. There are laws on the books. You know, there's laws on the books that say felons should not have firearms. You know how many felons I arrested in firearms with firearms in my career? Not a lot. Found more felons with firearms than law-abiding citizens with firearms. So you can outlaw the dog breeds. The folks who want the dog are going to get the dog. They'll just do it now. They'll do it under the table. They're going to hide. They're not going to be as wanting to take that dog out into public because now they have to duck and dive the law. So it's going to create, I think, long-term more issues than anything as far as helping. And it's just the craziness, man. Like, here's a crazy thought for you. We brought up Germany, right? Herm Sprenger, the best prong collar on the market, many would argue, is made in Germany. Yet you can't use a prong collar in Germany because of the German law says you can't. This is like, what? You can manufacture it, but you can't use it. It's just silliness. I'm not interested at all in the government. I've already said it, but intervening in what we do. However, I do strongly agree with you that, we should put that social pressure. You know, one of the ways we put social pressure, if you goof up and you happen to get caught on the internet goofing up, or you sometimes people post videos of their dogs doing crazy stuff, getting into dog fights, thinking it's funny. Well, if we catch it, we're going to put some social pressure on you because we're going to call it like we see it and we're going to throw it up there. And then we offend some people by doing that. The people who post the video and they're like, oh, you posted a video of me. When my dog got attacked at the dog park, I'm like, no, you posted a video of your dog getting attacked at the dog park. We just reposted it and gave our opinion on it. That's called the internet, baby. And if you don't like it, then stop posting your stuff on the internet, because it's exactly what we're going to do. And then they get upset that we don't give them credit for their video. And I get that. You want me to give you credit for a video where I smash you on the video and talk bad about you? If that's what you really want, you want the extra heat, I'll do that for you. But I'm trying to do you a favor and not mention your name because I'm talking bad about you. But then you can't do right or you can't do wrong. You mention them, they're going to be offended that you mention them. You don't mention them, they're offended that you don't mention them. So anyways, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing in that sense. But social pressure is absolutely the key. And there's another bigger topic in a sense, or slightly side topic to it. It's something new we've been talking about for the last about month or 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And that is grading your dog.
Oh,
it's this new thing we're talking about, trying to put it out there just to strike up the conversation. But if I came to a parent and I said, hey, I'm a teacher, I'm a guidance counselor, I'm a principal, whatever. I come to you as an parent and I said, hey, here's your kid's report card. F in science, F in math, F in everything. They got a B in PE. Good job. And then there's notes from the comments. Does not play well with others. rude, steals things, etc., etc. I'm like, if I presented that to you, Joel, and said, hey, this is your child's report card, what would you think? Or what adjustments would you make, you know, as a parent? We got a problem. And by the way, the type of children that typically fail out of high school, getting F's and everything, don't get along well with others, aren't socialized well as young kids, those kids end up turning into adults that are also unsocialized and end up in prison. You know what I'm saying? Most of those 16 to 18 young 20-year-old kids that we would see on the streets of Miami, I'm talking straight, really bad kids. Yeah. Like, I was going to say something worse than that. But the last few years in the police department, by the way, I was the commander of the gang unit. That's all we dealt with was 15, 16 to early 20-year-old gangbangers. And I don't know what you see in the movies or not. I don't think it depicts it correctly, but we're talking about 16-year-olds doing drive-by shootings with AK-47s and killing people and thinking nothing of it. Yep. Nothing of it. Like, yep. Typical night out with me and the boys at 16 years old. We're just trying to go on a date with a girl, or worst thing we might do is drink underage, you know, but we weren't out there doing drive-bys with AK-47s, which it sounds like I'm exaggerating. That doesn't. Yes, I promise you that is happening every day across America. 15, 16, there's even 12, 13, 14-year-old kids doing the same stuff. But the common denominator with these young kids that are like that, no leadership, no parents. Trust me, those kids weren't getting straight A's in schools if they were even going to school. Mm-hmm. My point is, now let's talk about the dogs. What's probably not talked about, you can talk about the social score. Here's just one example. I bring my 7-year-old out with me. Whether she knows it or not, pretty accomplished in her dog handling skills, just because I make her help me out around the house. I'm like, hey, you got to pick up poop. Hey, do me a favor, walk this dog. But now we're at a point, like, we just went to Lowe's the other day, a hardware store. And we walked through, there were about 15 minutes in the store. From the moment Thanos came out of the car to the moment we walked, a whole 15 minutes, I didn't hold the leash not one time. My 7-year-old did it the whole time because she wanted to. I didn't make her do it. She's like, Daddy, I want to do it. She's very proud to walk around with the dog, and people are crazy impressed.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. My point is that same 7-year-old, when we're out, whether we have a dog or not, I can't tell you how many times she's pulled me on the shoulder, on the sleeve, and said, hey, Dad, look at that dog over there. And I look and she goes, Dad, that dog is so misbehaved. That dog has no training. And in other words, that owner doesn't have a clue what they're doing. But the sticking point of what I'm trying to get at is, if you walked over to that same owner whose dog is so out of pocket that my 7-year-old from across the street and 150 feet away goes, that dog's not well behaved. If you were to ask that owner, hey, how would you grade your dog? Like, if you know, A, B, C, D, how are they doing on the walk? Just the walk. Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably like a B. Yeah, maybe even an A.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's an F. It's an F. When my 7-year-old can point out from 150 feet away how misbehaved your dog is, that's called an F. And that's what I was getting at. And we just did a couple of recent little YouTube lives, just kind of testing the theory, having a conversation with people, because we're talking about maybe doing a course and providing a report card. Yeah. And helping people grade their own dogs. But what I'm trying to get, I'm talking in circles. I think most people are completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, clueless. Disillusioned?
Clueless?
Clueless is a good one. Yeah, they really think probably. their dog's an A and B. Or they've just come to accept, like, well, that's just what my dog does. He just jumps on people. That's just him. Like you said, he just wants to be happy.
That's what dogs do.
He's a happy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just jump on people. They just pull you on the leash. It's just, no, that's actually not at all what they could or should be doing. They can all do better.
What are you going to do? This is a great idea, because you're sort of putting this, like, we go and we work with a dog, and sort of you and me, we go, okay, this dog is not good in this area, and then we try to train the dog and try to tell the owner and we try to do all this stuff. But it's an interesting thing. You're like, this grading concept, what are you going to do with this grading concept? Like, you're going to apply this. I think you're going to basically try to come up with some sort of system and then improve the grade.
Absolutely. Like,
what are you going to do? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds
to fix a problem, it starts with recognizing that you have a problem.
Right.
And that's what I'm getting at. I don't think most of these folks have a clue, not a clue how bad their dog's failing at life. And some of my people say, oh, don't say that. You're going to offend people. What, to tell someone that their dog's failing at life? This dog is failing. They just don't realize, they're blissfully ignorant. And I say, if you're blissfully ignorant and you're so happy with the way your dog pulls you on a leash and you're good with that, good for you, baby. Okay. You don't need to come to our channel. We got nothing to teach you because you're happy with that. But for the folks who are like, God, there's got to be a better way because this just ain't getting it. And and it's simple things. So we're going to put together, we're already putting together a course, and it's either going to be free or super low cost, but we're going to provide like a report card that they can fill out. And then I'm going to give examples and we'll just walk and talk you through it. Some of the basics. And I think you'll agree with me on this. Like, what are some of the basics? Doorway manners. I know you teach that a lot on your YouTube channel.
Impulse control.
The walk. Sure. Right. Impulse control, which could be whittled down to one of the things we're going to teach, which is jumping. Right. Your ability for your dog to just not jump when it meets people, to sit and stay at the front door. Just the basics, baby. And we're going to show on camera, this is what an F looks like.
Yeah.
This is what an A looks like. Now, the cool thing is we have, it just so happens to be at this particular time while we're filming this course, we got little 3.5, 4-month-old Corso puppies. My 4-month-old puppies, not mine, they're clients' dogs. And I asked the question to the camera, like I'm asking right now, why is it that this 4-month-old puppy is getting A's and B's in all of these subject matters, and your dog's still a D or an F? Mm-hmm. Why is that? And it's not the breed, it's not whatever. And then ultimately, we're going to show them. Because what's the point? We're just bashing on people. Your dog's an F. It's like, okay, it's an F. Now, if you follow along, we can turn your F into an A in about 5 minutes. Not in every category, but if we just take the category of doorway manners, there are ways to stop your dog from shooting out the front door in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
As you show on your videos.
Yeah.
And then you know how you said you were at the, let's take that example. You were at your friend's house.
Yeah.
The Newfoodoodle. What is it?
Newfoodoodle, I guess.
Newfoodoodle. Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The Newfoodoodle was probably at that moment in time, if Garrett was standing there with a little pen and paper and grading that dog, I would say, you know, impulse control, F. Jumping on people, F. All of these things. Mm-hmm. You did one correction, or I'm just making the assumption.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One little thing, and took that dog from an F, and you said 80% improvement. We took it to a B minus in about 3 seconds flat.
Yeah.
That's it.
True.
This doesn't take 3 years to fix a problem. You can take a dog with straight Fs and get straight A's in 4 to 6 weeks, absolutely guaranteed. It can be done. I mean, honestly, it takes less than that. And by the way, some people are like, oh, well, I don't have 4 to 6 weeks. I'm like, okay, well, then you got 10 to 12 years of dealing with a straight F student.
Right.
And where does that take you? You know, so we could just go on and on with it. But even if you just start working on things right now with your dog, you can fix it. The improvements you'll see in just days, let alone minutes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think what people can get from watching this and hearing this is actually an interesting thing where they can go, what is my dog? And you've said it. What is my dog truly at this? You know, everyone comes over, gets jumped on. It's an F. Okay. Once you see that F on jumping, then that's real. Like, it's real. And then the person can go, we need to get this to a freaking C, dude, at least. And then they work on it. And then that's an interesting concept. So everyone watching this who has dog problems, which it's alive. So basically people probably, I don't even see the comments, are just like, how do I train my dog this? Or my old lives used to be, how do I do this? How do I do this? It's constant questions. Is you first go, what is your dog's grade? And then you go, listen, I can't be Garrett and do this in 5 minutes. Okay, it's going to take me a week. That's fine. Let's get it to a D in a week because you have two kids and you have a full-time job. We're okay with a D in a week because you get him another week. Now you're to C. At 4 weeks, you're at an A. Okay. Take your time. If you want to take your time, I don't care, but let's get it there somewhat quick. But you got to know how bad or good your dog actually is to really. And I think that's a nice way to do it, is sort of a letter grading system.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good. And I think it's like accurate self-appraisal, super important. And I think all of Garrett's points about people generally, like, the more you love something, the harder it is to be accurate in your appraisal, right? It's like, oh, you know, oh, my sweet dog can do no wrong, right? And then people, but where you really, and then it's also hard to identify that type of stuff in yourself, right? So understanding where you're at as a trainer and also where you are, where your dog is at, is a great way to establish that baseline. And then also too, like, from like the corporate world, right, where people go, like, oh, you have to do like annual reviews, and people always think, oh, I'm a 10 out of 10. I'm great. And then you're going, are you kidding me? You're like the worst employee ever. And, but in their mind, they think they are. So, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around, but that's why they have these, like, you know, whatever it is, every half a year or every year, they sit down and go, this is what we think of what you're doing. You know, this open communication. And then I do
think,
more
importantly, this is where you can improve.
Yeah.
We're here to help you.
Yeah. But you can't improve, right? If you think your recall is perfect, but it's actually horrible, right? So you have to at least identify, like, this is the problem. And then also too, like on a deeper level, I think with what you're saying, to see, I mean, some people won't even know what would be considered a good dog. Like, what are the actual topics, right? Like, they don't even know that, right?
Right. And I want to say this too, because it might seem extreme, but my dog doesn't need to be straight A's. Honestly, the bar is not that high. I'm not saying it has to just be a freaking robot and attention heel for 30 minutes around your neighborhood. But it's, and so sometimes I'm like, because this is like a, we're in the process of refining this idea. And as we did it, actually someone commented in the live. We did a live on it like maybe a week ago, just to kind of get live feedback. Like, hey, post in the comments, like, what do you think your dog actually is on the recall, on the walk? And once I laid it out for them, the difference between an A and an F, we saw D's and F's mostly. Mm-hmm. An A student does not mean that they're just the perfect dog. But let's just do one example, if we may.
Yeah.
What the guy said, by the way, was, you know what, Garrett, honestly, because this is what I said. Let me preface it with this. I said, don't post that your dog is a C. Don't give me no C's. C's is not good enough. A C student ain't getting it. It's not good enough. Because I say, if you're already at a C, then why aren't you at an A? Why don't you just do just this little bit more work and be an A? Because the only time I think your dog should be a C in any category is you're right in the middle of working on it, going from an F to an A. But really, your dog's either doing it right or it's doing it wrong. In other words, it's more, so this is what he said, and I'm going to steal from him, just one of my subscribers. Mm. It's more like pass, fail. Let's just look at it, pass or fail. We're not talking about it has to be an honor roll student. I'm not talking about that. So here's one example, doorway drill. Very simple. The folks at home want to grade their dog. Get your pen and paper out right now. Let me tell you what an F looks like. And Joel, you help me out. What does an F look like at the doorway?
Dog flying out the door.
The door opens, dog's gone. Is that
sure,
what I mean?
That's definitely. That yeah, that's one. Okay. How about you want to take the dog out for a walk at the doorway and you go to put the leash on. Takes you 5 minutes to put the leash on because the dog's running circles around your living room. The dog's barking. The dog's jumping on your door. You put the leash on and you're going for a ride as soon as that door opens. I mean, you can just fill in all the blanks. Yeah. You know what F looks like? The folks experiencing it know what an F looks like. If there's room for improvement, probably your dog's failing at this. What does an A look like? It's so simple.
You take the leash opens, out. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Fill in the blanks. Go for it.
Yeah. You take the leash out. Really, an A, if you want to get into the A plus, would be you take the leash out and the dog comes and sits immediately in front of you. You put the leash on. And the dog still sits, and you maybe release the dog. Then you get to the door. Dog sits and looks at you. You open the door. You start walking. Dog is in a heel, or you know, not even you say heel. Yeah. So that's
You know, obvious.
Is that your A? Is that your A too? That's my A.
That's it. Yeah. And I'll make it even simpler because I mean, you put the cherry on top.
Yeah.
The dog maintains a sit stay at the door, whether the door's open or not.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is it? In other words, can you get your dog to sit at the door? Pass or fail. The only difference is like with the distractions, because that's what we call real obedience. Everybody could probably get their dog to sit at the door for a treat. I just want to know when you don't have a treat and the door opens and maybe there's a guy standing there with a package or someone knocked at the door or you're getting ready to go for a walk and dog's excited because they see the leash. Can you get your dog to sit and maintain a sit? Give me 30 seconds. If you can get 15 seconds, give me 15 seconds. I'll give you a pass. That's an A. I'll take it. I'm not looking for perfection. Just can your dog sit and wait at the doorway? It either can, A, or it can't, F, and move on from there. And it's the same. On the walk, we'll make it simple too. Your dog's either pulling you or it's not pulling you and it's walking nicely next to you. Pass or fail. Now, in the process of doing that, like in your first session or two, there'll be this little gray area where the dog's kind of starting to do better, but still kind of reverting to its old ways. That's the C, because you're right in the middle of working on it. And it's just, as long as you work on it a little bit more, you're going to be at an A in no time flat. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, how long would it take you, roughly speaking, if you had that newfoodoodle, the new, whatever it is, I'm going to say it wrong 1,000 times, that 9-month-old, not a bad dog, just a little too much energy, no guidance, no leadership, doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make the assumption that that dog's doorway manners right at this moment, or prior to Joel in, you know, dealing with the dog, is an F. It's just failing at that drill.
Yes.
How long would it take you to get that dog to a pass?
30 seconds.
And I rest my case. Now, what if you showed everybody how to do that, which you do in your videos?
Yeah.
Might take 5, 10, or 15 minutes to watch the video, understand what needs to be done, and then employ it. My guess for most folks with half a brain, 3, 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you're really sucking. Yeah. And then maybe a second session of like 2 or 3 minutes, and you're done. Now you just went from an F to an A, just like that.
I agree.
Move on to the next thing.
I agree.
That's it. I think we beat this topic up too much, but I'm just very passionate about it.
Yeah. We're going to steal it. I wonder where the will is. Please. And I don't want to necessarily go down this road, because I'd like, you know, it's enough. We talked about dog training way too much for Beckman Unleashed podcast.
I know people are
itching. I wonder where the will is from some people, right? I've done doorway method videos that have a lot of views. There it is. And I'm not expecting everyone to see that. But if you did see that and you have that problem, and I agree with you, 10 minutes, you could get it. And then you need refreshers kind of each time you go out, but you'll pretty much get it. And, I don't know if the will's not there. It's not the way. I'm not a genius. That's for darn sure. It's like the will, right? I guess it would be anything.
It's will and skill, right? Those are the skills. Those are the tough. Oh, geez, I'm getting angry here.
I guess it'd be like if you're like your kids, like you know, hey, I need to do this with my kid, and I just don't do it. Like,
yeah, but a lot of that is, I mean, the skill is actually in the will, right? Like the desire to go and improve.
Yeah.
No, we're stealing that for sure. We're gonna go take that to the copyright office. What do you think?
Go for it.
That's awesome. No, I think that was good. Anything else, Joel, that you got for Garrett?
Let's take a call. Mentioned in his
this should be
something.
Exciting.
This is exciting for us because we've never done it. So he mentioned that we might take calls and let's take it when he's on.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll get one, bro.
So, hey, if anyone wants to call, bear with us here. 619-784-5580. If you'd like to be the first caller on the podcast, we will patch you in. It's going to be a bit hazy, but
should they have a question just for Garrett because he's on?
Whatever
it could be, a general question or a question.
619-784-5580. 619-784-5580.
And we did the tester on this. It was super loud. We got to be careful.
It sounded good,
bro. It's too loud when we tested this.
I like it. So
yesterday,
we have to see if
go to the comments. Go to the comments. I can't even see him.
Yeah, I've actually blocked the comments from Joel, which is fantastic.
Now I can see him again.
We've got him.
Have to type the number in the.
I know. I thought our Patrick would have called.
We have some long time listeners that
it should
probably
ring.
Call.
It should ring.
We'll see. Maybe no one's going to call us. That's maybe a possibility. Or
they're just scared. I'm going to give their dog an F.
That's true.
On camera.
It's possible. It's possible.
Maybe just yell at them when they.
So here's what I want to know about Garrett. Some point, I told you this when you were on maybe the last time. I have a thing with Florida and like Miami, and like I grew up watching the Hurricanes, and like I just loved everything sort of south.
Uh oh. Hold on. We've got a call here. Let's see what's going on.
All right. Hold on. They have. Okay. Can we just answer it? All right. You're live on Beckman Unleashed. Who is this? What's her? Thank you.
We got a few callers. Oh, what do you got? What do you got for us?
You got to undo the other ringing.
Can she hear us?
Yeah, but it's ringing.
I can't. I had to send it to
all
the
right,
voicemail.
Hold your calls, people, for just a second.
This is crazy.
All right, talk over
the ringing and ask us your questions till we get this worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. We're here.
Who? There's someone there. Y'all hear anything? Because I don't hear anything.
Oh, hold on.
Go ahead. I will relay. Hold on. We're going to do a screen thing so Garrett can hear because he could not hear you. I want you to start over and then he's going to give us the thumbs up if he can hear. Ready? Garrett, okay, say something.
I'm here.
Can you hear?
Garrett okay. can hear us now. Go with your question. We're ready.
My sister's got a Malinois about a year old. When she brings her Malinois over to play with my dog, the Malinois just tears them up. And she has the Malinois in training. I believe she's doing a lot, but it's not enough because, of course, this dog is high everything. And so, and she's bit the vet. She's bit me. She's bit my dogs. And now my sister won't talk to me, and I don't know what to do.
Hold on. I have questions for you. I need more context. These are big subjects. How old is the Malinois? Yeah. How old is the Malinois?
About 8 months.
8 months. And what do you mean tears my dog up? What does that mean?
Her 38-pound Malinois, and it's small on the smaller size, will literally take one of my dogs, Carolina dog's throat, and just slash her head around on the cement. And when I say something and try and stop Minnie the Malinois, my sister says that my Carolina dog, well, she should be doing something about it, like making her, you know, I'm like, no.
Defend itself.
She's not going to do that. And I don't want my dog to learn how to fight and bite.
Okay, we have a little bit of context. I am going to defer to a Malinois guy, and then I'm going to give what I think. Garrett, do you have some advice for this lady?
You're on Larry King.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. So first and foremost, the good news is that the Malinois is only 8 months old, so it's not 100% set in its ways. There's still a lot of room for improvement. Just make sure you guys can hear me, okay, right?
She cannot
hear
Garrett.
I don't think she can hear me.
Oh, okay. Hey, okay. Hang tight.
I would hang up and then just let her listen to the...
Okay, yeah, just hang up and listen
to
the...
Yeah, hang up and listen to the... we'll get this figured out.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Go. So, 8-month-old Malinois, there's still room for improvement there. The dog is obviously failing on its social skills, but I'll be honest with you, both owners are failing putting their dogs in that situation. If that dog's that out of pocket, it absolutely needs to be on a leash, period, when it's at that woman's house. I would have both dogs on a leash. I would not just let it be a straight free-for-all. It sounds like I can't tell if the dog's just playing aggressively or it's absolutely just crushing the other dog and correcting the other dog and establishing dominance in that household. Regardless of whatever it is, it's playing rough or it's just being aggressive, that dog needs to be on a leash, period. And I guarantee you, that's not the only area that Malinois is being an F student, if you will. That dog's probably an F in all categories. So I'd get that dog to walk perfect on a leash. I'd get it to understand leash pressure. I'd get it to understand how to sit, how to down, how to place. And even if you didn't want to do all of that extra work, if you go after the other dog, you got another thing coming. You're on a leash. I'm going to let you know in no uncertain terms that is absolutely unacceptable. Unacceptable. And like Joel said, he said it earlier, you know how long it would take to fix that problem? About 30 seconds. Don't do that. You absolutely cannot do that, period. There's no gray area. There's no maybe. There's no putting your mouth on another dog's neck and thrashing it so its head smashes into the concrete. Like, I don't even know how we're having this conversation right now. Put a leash on that dog, and I'm very sorry to hear that you and your sister aren't getting along because of it. So here's a suggestion for your sister. I don't know how you want to do it, but you might want to slip her, maybe a text message, maybe through a friend. It's called Beckman Unleashed. Go on over to Beckman's channel. Check out our channel, a bunch of free resources there available for your sister. I don't know how you're going to deliver that message, but I think it goes back to what I had said earlier. I bet you right now, the owner of that Malinois, well, you heard it there. Oh, that's just how the dog is. This is what a Malinois does. No, it's not. I don't care what the breed. It doesn't need to be doing that. So it's totally unacceptable. And then to demand that the other dog defend itself, I don't agree with that whatsoever. Because when it does stand up to defend itself, maybe it fixes the problem. But now you just taught that dog how to behave around other dogs, which is to fight back and be nasty as hell. Or probably what's going to happen is that dog's going to get to a point where it needs to defend itself. And as soon as it steps up to defend itself, we use it on a scale of 1 through 10. Maybe the Malinois coming in at a 6. This other dog that's getting its butt handed to, it's going to come in at a 3 or 4 to try to defend itself. Then you're going to see what the Malinois does on a level 10, and you ain't going to like it. That's how dogs get killed or seriously right. injured. So I could go on and on, but that's right. my 2 cents.
That was fire.
I agree with everything he said. That would be basically the answer. And good news, the dog is 8 months old. We can help some things in a way. Bad news, the dog is 8 months old, which I say a lot of times, because we're going to, it's acting that way that young, and that is a problem, but it still can be helped or fixed because it is young. So we're going to let Garrett. Oh, and that doesn't suck about the sister dynamic thing. Mm-hmm. Like what a weird response though. Your dog should stand up for itself. Like it's not a very common response for them to say that. I've been in homes and like husbands and wives are fighting and yelling in front of me and yelling at children. And like, it's pretty crazy with this dog thing, the family dynamics that happen. I've been a marriage counselor so many times because the dog's like running the home and these two people are fighting and I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, but he's right about this. And then you're right about this. And you have to be nicer to your wife when the dog does this. And like, it's pretty crazy, yeah. But those marriage, those dynamics between the sisters that's unfortunate. I always feel bad when I hear that, you know, and it sounds like the one sister's really is deflecting the word. Yeah. When she's like, well, your dog needs to do this. It's because she doesn't know what the hell to do with her dog. So she's saying that dog should do that, which is insane.
So I just want to congratulate Garrett because he is going down in history as the first person to take a live phone call. We're getting another one.
We're getting a bunch. We're gonna let Garrett go. Garrett, we thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We love you.
You're the man.
And I'll be out there to see you soon. Okay.
I'm gonna answer this real quick.
I can't wait. Yeah, I cannot wait to have you on our podcast.
Let him go. Okay.
Let him all go.
Bye.
See you guys.
All right, Garrett's gone.
You are live on the good old Beckman Unleashed podcast. What's your name?
And my question is, we have a really odd couple mix. So I have a question for Joel, if you can ever do
an odd quote unquote couple mix.
Odd couple.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We have two rescues, literally street rescue dogs. We got them about a year and a half apart. One is a Great Pyrenees Lab mix, and the other one is like a pit mix. We pretty sure she's a healer pit mix. She's on the small side, about 50 pounds. And we got her in what you call the fear period, which I did not know about when we got her. And she can be a real handful, but your videos have been very effective with her, but we're still having trouble with her reactivity in isolated situations. So I get what you're saying. It's like pass or fail. But for a recent example, we had a flat tire that we had to get fixed immediately, and both dogs were with us in the car. Her people reactivity is pretty much gone, but when the guy came around to the back side of the car to take off the tire, it's like she couldn't let it go. It's just she was sort of in that flip out stage. And when he would go away, you know, it was fine, but anytime he came back to deal with the tire, she would just start that barking and lunging. And of course, you know, I rolled up the windows. But anyway, if you can kind of comment on how do you deal with when a poor behavior, like how I would fix it before, was working, you know, leash pop and all that. And then also, if you can comment on what do you do when you end up with two dogs that are so different? So I'll hang up, I guess.
Don't hang up.
Okay.
What are we sending something to her? Like
pit healer's age?
She would be, she's 9 months. I think she's around 2 now.
2 years old. And your main problem is barking from inside the car to outside the car. I know you probably have other things, but you brought up the other dog, and I was expecting you to say the dogs are fighting, but you didn't say anything about fighting.
Mm-hmm. know, overall, I've used your videos. That is not tolerated. Sometimes they play kind of rough.
Doesn't matter. It's the dog barking from inside the car to outside the car. Correct.
Correct. And as of now, it's isolated. So in regards to people, your videos have pretty much solved, I'd say 96% of it. An occasional, like, odd looking suspicious person based on how they move. You know what I mean?
Right. So
like that can kind of upset her.
So your
The question is, in an isolated situation where she's like, hey, somebody's taking our tire off our car. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, she's not letting it go. And then I don't know if you could say anything about this. Her dog reactivity is still off the charts. And I believe it's because she's a homeless camp rescue. Literally a homeless person was, you know, we can't feed this dog. She was malnourished, you know, that kind of thing. She was in a...
Let me get to the car problem, because the dog reactivity problem takes I need to know a lot of information. And then people learn, I have a dog training course that takes years to pass. And part of what takes it so long is leash reactivity. It is a very complex problem. So we're going to deal with the car stuff. So if you want to just jump right into what I would do in that case, I think I have raised a good dog. I think that I got out of the car and I shook the tire guy's hand, right? And I'm not saying you did this. I assume you did this. You should have probably gotten out of the car and talked to the tire guy. Well, at that point, anything other than acceptance of the tire guy is absolutely unacceptable. Now, I understand the car and the confines of the car and a guy coming up to the car. I get that it's tough, but you have accepted tire guy coming up to your car. Now, if you sat in the car and he just walked up, I mean, that's not fair. Why wouldn't she bark? This is weird. But if you accept him into his life, so you accept him into your life, she's freaking out. You go in the back, you grab her by the collar, you do butt touch, you sit a little bit down. She goes, yeah, where's tire guy? I hate tire guy. You give her a little hand correction. You do a little butt touch, sit her back down. Now maybe she's out of her mind. Okay, guess what? You got to then go home and to get into kind of not Garrett's thing. I guess it's my thing. But like, you got to go home and train the snot out of this dog, because she is not saying, like, I respect, to be anthropomorphic, I respect this woman's sort of... like, the lady told me to stop it. I didn't care about the lady in any way saying stop it. I felt like barking at tire guy. And so you go, okay, how is she at the door? Does she jump on me when I come home? When I say come in the backyard, she come. So if she does all that stuff, then you're on your way. If she's not doing that stuff, you have to kind of work on that stuff. And then she's not as apt to bark at tire guy who you've accepted into your life.
I thought of that solution after, because, you know, it was a fairly quick thing. And it was like one of those tire places where it's kind of, a commercial. Yeah. So, you know, you pull up and there's like five or six other cars and they're taking off time. You know, it's like kind of in a lot. So,
you know what we have to
I thought of that. And I thought, well, because the car was jacked up, you know, I thought safety issue. I shouldn't be getting in and out of the car. But in the future, should I have anything like that? In the past, you know, like after it all happened, I was like, what could I have done? And I thought of that. I should have gotten out of the car, gone to that passenger side window, told her to stop.
Yes.
And then, you know, talked to the tire guy. So that that is very helpful.
Good.
Could I ask one last question?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
Please.
No. No. No.
We're going to take another call. I hope I really hope that
that
helped.
Was heavy.
I hope that helped.
She tried to avoid us or stop us from stopping the second question or the fourth question or however many questions that was.
Yeah.
That was absolutely wild. What'd you think of the questions?
I thought that question helped five people, which is five people that maybe weren't helped. So that's good. We need broader questions, or we need people to come in and not even talk about dog training.
Remember Bill O'Reilly?
Something else.
He used to say pithy comments.
Yeah, keep it pithy.
Keep it pithy.
Okay, that is the rule for calling at this point forward. Can I please see the comments? I will not comment. I will not
Okay.
Focus on that.
I will allow Joel to see a couple of comments.
Okay. Keep it pithy. If you don't keep it pithy, you're getting cut off. Mid-sentence, I guarantee it.
Are we doing any more calls or is that the last
call? I want
call?
Another call.
You want a call? Okay. You like the call stuff.
Well, if they keep it pithy.
Okay. All right. You well, cannot, if you guys want to call, the number is 619-784-5580. We got another one. They can't, our hear Patrick. This. They can't hear this.
We
hold on. Let me patch him in. Hold on 1 second. I'm patching you in there, oh my sir. Gosh. Okay.
And we might have to cut our Patrick off. Okay, he's too much on this podcast, right. In the podcast. Hey, what's up?
Everyone listening, can you give a thumbs up if you can hear? Can you hear our guest right now?
It doesn't matter. If they can hear him, they can hear him. We want to talk to our Patrick. So what does our Patrick have to say? What does Ryan have to say? Ryan, what's up?
I don't have any questions, but I'm going to have a guess the song thing for you.
Guess the song?
Guess
yep, the song. I'm going to read a little bit of lyrics, and you have to guess them. I made this up a long time
ago. All right. Is it from 90s rap?
Oh, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Oh, then
perfect.
I put your money on me first. Eric second. He's a bigger rap fan. He's a giant rap fan, but he's a little younger.
Yeah, you called the right place, my
you
friend.
You did call the right place. I'm ready.
Okay, can you hear the instrumental in the background?
I'm sure we can. See, this is my type of
question. Don't get us banned.
I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to butcher it.
Is he going to play it?
I got all my game from the streets of Oregon. A young trainer, never know.
That's too short. That's too short. Getting it.
Let him sing.
Training Bosco.
Keep going.
There we go.
How did
you? I ain't doing the whole song.
Oh, I knew that.
They can't hear, by the way.
I knew that. I know every word of that song.
So, bro, I'm a too short guy. I didn't know that.
They can hear him. They can hear our
Okay,
Patrick.
Good. I'm a too short guy. You knew that right away.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was really good.
The diploma thing, I think.
Bro, I am a too short guy from Oakland. My dad's from Oakland. My dad's from that neighborhood where Too Short was born.
Like 90th Street or something like
Full
that?
Full on, like from East Oakland. 50 years ago is a little bit different. It was just,
I think I was a
poor people.
I think I was like a freshman or a sophomore. I think I was a freshman when it's that still came poor out.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh, freshman. Yeah. That,
you're probably in
awesome.
College, right?
Nah, I don't
not
know.
That you were at Moore Park.
Ryan, that we love that call. We love that call.
All right, man.
Hey, we appreciate
Ryan,
you.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh.
Yeah.
How's your dog doing?
This dog's great.
My dog is fine. Well, here's a question. I just asked you a question. Oh,
okay. Okay. Fine. One more question. We'll give you one more question and then we're going to hang up.
Go ahead.
I asked in the very beginning before you went live if Joel, that's why I gave a dollar, but has Joel ever done seminars with two other people? And I'm going to leave it at that. I just want to know yes or no in the past.
What do you mean by seminar? Is this appropriate?
With two other trainers?
No. No.
No? Is there another Joel that trains killer whales that did seminars with other trainers?
What do you mean when you say the word seminar?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Like gone to like different states and apparently trained. And I found it weirdly like ironic that there was another killer whale or ex-killer whale trainer.
There is. His name's Joel Silverman. He's a dog trainer.
Okay.
Trainer. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was super confused, dude, and I didn't want to blow you out the water.
No. Yeah. Joel Silverman. Joel Silverman. Joel Sylvester. Joel Silverman. He's a good dog trainer, actually. He's commented on some things, and he appreciated me. Yeah, calling him out.
It was with Larry Crone, is what I. That's why I asked.
Yeah, no, it was Joel. He was a killer whale trainer many years ago. He had a show. He's a good trainer. I like that guy. He wrote a book called What Color Is My Dog? And Garrett actually was talking about sort of grades, and it kind of reminded me of his book. Like, if your dog's super high energy, if it's red, you train it like this. If it's green, you train it like this. Joel wrote that book, and it's a pretty good book.
I bet that's an awesome book.
Yeah, it's a important thing, right? You train them differently. Ryan,
hey,
we love you. We'll
hey,
talk to you
real quick, Ryan.
All right, man.
You won't let him go, Eric.
Ryan, real quick. Will you tell me if this sounds like a phone hanging up? Done.
Oh.
Got him.
You got him. He gets us in the he always is taking shots at us.
Okay. Can everyone give us a thumbs up in the comments if that all sounded kosher? Is that good?
Yeah.
I like this. I like the calls. It's a bit stressful, and we're live, all this stuff going on, but
it's a quite stressful, actually. Joel Silverman. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am thinking of Joel Silverman. What did I say? Joel Sylvester?
No, I think you said that. What did I say? I think you did say that. Yeah. Oh, you're thinking. Oh, there.
Yeah, good Wesley Dog Training, who's I've follow on Instagram, and I've commented, and she's commented. She's great. She said Joel Silverman. I think that's what I said.
Wow.
He works in movies. I know about that movie and TV deal. You guys don't want to know about the animal movie and TV deals.
So
those dogs and those animals.
Do we want any more questions? And if so, what type of question do we want?
Like, we don't want a dog question.
No dog questions?
No, like an in-depth, like, how do I get my dog to not be leash reactive? I don't know. Go to Garrett's leash reactivity videos and go to my YouTube videos. That's how you do it.
We don't want Joel to fall asleep during the podcast. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, and I don't want to be mean to anybody. I mean, I just
we thought
don't.
We were going to be, but then we just didn't have the heart. We couldn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was... I was actually super pumped on Garrett. I thought Garrett did a great job today.
Yeah, Garrett's always great.
Yeah, it's good to have him there. So, okay, well, we'll do one more phone call.
One more call.
It's the call 619-784-5580. Do not ask a dog question. Ask something.
You can ask a dog question. Ask something, an interesting dog question. Not to say our dog question wasn't interesting. It's just
619-784-5580. Bring the heat. Let's hear one more question.
We had two dog questions.
Yeah, that's true. So, here we go. We got one.
You think we know the person? I bet we do.
Maybe. We'll see.
Nico.
Do you know that person?
Nico, you're live. Oh, wait.
First one's about dogs, I think.
Go ahead.
First one is, Beckman, as a man with property, maybe you don't really go around a lot of other people's dogs, but I just want to know, would you correct someone else's dog if they just refused to get them off you? You said, hey, man, your dog's making me uncomfortable. Why'd you adopt a Cane Corso and then walk away at the barbecue? That's just number one, because I live in D.C., and I meet a lot of dogs that are bigger than my little Cavadoodle, and a lot of basically... owners that aren't willing to say enough is enough.
What does a man of property mean?
Your property owner.
Oh, okay.
Your property owner. I found that the more acreage I have, the less I spend time around other people's dogs or people who don't know how to control their dogs.
Right.
So I thought you could humor me and say, let's say for some reason you're at you were dragged to a place surrounded by people who don't care. And would you correct a dog who had a fat, thick collar and was making you uncomfortable, even if the owner was like, like whatever, that's pooky?
Absolutely. I have to hold myself back all the time from correcting my friends' dogs. And I have good friends with good dogs, but even like jumping, and sometimes I'll say to my friend, I'll go, bro, here's my spiel. I go, I can't let this happen. And I don't like knee them. Like, I'm like, I like do something. I give like a little knee or a little shed, but everyone's used to people fawning over their dog. That's what everyone's used to. Yep. So if you're just out of that norm and your deal, like little dogs meeting big dogs, that's a little different, but it's similar. Everyone's used to the dog jumping and them going, it's okay. Even if it's not okay, or the dog going up to their children and us just kind of taking our children away and not say anything to the person. Like it's this tiptoe around dog bad behavior constantly. So I will say to some people, I'll say, man, I literally cannot let this. It would be like a therapist talking to a narcissist, and like, it's just, they know what they're dealing with and they kind of can't not know. And I just can't.
You've seen the light, right? Once you've taken the light pill, you can't.
Yeah. There's a book called People of the Lie by Scott Peck. And he says, this is a dangerous book, because once you know the truth, you actually can't kind of go come back from it when it's actually about kind of narcissism. It's about human ego.
It's a law of exposure.
Nico's like, what the hell are you talking about?
No,
when,
it's a law of exposure.
I asked about this dogs. Makes total sense, man.
So,
this makes total sense.
So when the dogs are like on me, which doesn't happen a lot, like I'll just be a little shed method, a little shoulder, a little, I'm walking here, I'm going to say hi to people. And it's awkward at times with people. It doesn't happen a lot, but I have no problem saying, but you have to be careful, because if it's to strangers, there can actually be a physical altercation. You're like, hey,
Well, get you your don't dog worry away about from that, man, because I live in Washington, D.C. They're not about that life.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
not
true.
In any way,
so,
right?
That's the law of exposure. <Not in D.C. laughs> So the law of exposure, once you've been exposed to something, you can never be unexposed. So I have a question for Nico. It's Nico, right?
He had a two-parter, by the way.
So here's my question to you, because just to give you some feedback as far as from a caller's point of view, I don't think you've drinking any alcohol today. I don't know.
Yeah, we have might only be the drinkers first that call this podcast.
Yeah, if you haven't been drinking a bottle
of wine.
You know
what's funny, guys? I've ran bars for like 8 years. And yeah, you're right, though. I haven't had any alcohol. I actually just been binging your videos. It's been great.
Yeah, most people binge the videos have also been drinking. That tends to be the podcast up, listeners, though. At least.
Did you have a second?
No, I get high on Prince Corrections. That's like that's my fix.
Prince is here. Prince is actually Prince here.
Yeah?
Sleeping right now.
He's over there. He's right over there.
Okay, did you have a two-parter?
He's the best boy.
Two-parter, Nico.
Oh, dude, I was just the second part was more cheeky about because I've listened to your podcast and I wanted to say that when I walked past I was just a joke about walking around Washington D.C. during certain time. It was just cheeky to say I'm a fan.
Oh, okay.
And I listened.
Yep. Hey, thanks, bro.
He's calling from the swamp. Well, hey,
no
thanks
problem.
For your call.
Thanks.
Of course. Thanks.
Click. Okay, no, I'm kidding. That was
I like that call.
That was a good call. Absolutely.
I like trying to guess 90s rap. Too Short. One of the OGs of rap. Yeah, my uncle grew up with MC Hammer. So my uncle is much younger than my dad. And they were buddies.
MC Hammer, actually super loyal and
super legit.
And also no pun intended. Too legit to quit. But one thing about MC Hammer is that
he grew up in hardcore Oakland, and people thought he was soft. He wasn't.
No,
soft.
And then I don't know if you've seen Redman talk about that or not, where he's like, he will like run up on you.
Yeah.
Like right now, like if someone like clowns MC Hammer in 2024, they're going to get seen.
I wouldn't clown MC Hammer. I had that first song on loop on a cassette, and me and my friends just played it over and over and over and over again.
Our Patrick just said, can't but touch this. That's pretty good, huh?
Bro, how does he come up with this stuff?
He's a genius. The guy is a genius.
He's a genius in like this tiny, very specific way.
Yeah, it's like a totally non-economically viable skill, right? But I wonder
done nothing for him except get him on the podcast.
On the best podcast of all time.
On the best podcast ever.
So, okay, Did we have a point to this podcast, or is this just kind of, did you have anything prepared other than your rant at the beginning?
I do like the calls.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Are you getting addicted to them? I feel like we're...
But they have to be good. We just have to hang up if they're bad. Just hang up on them.
Can't we just hang up anyways?
And then you be the bad guy. And I'll go, don't hang up. And you hang up and you go, sorry. That's what we got to do.
Okay.
And I'm not saying calling about your dog is a bad call. That's what people want.
All right, let's do one more. People seem to want the calls. 619-784-5580.
Sybil thought it was funny we called him a genius.
We got another one. This is amazing. So they just keep coming in.
Maddie.
All right. And they can't hear that yet. I have to add her.
But yeah, don't say anything, Maddie, until you're actually on. I will tell you when. Ready and speak.
What's your name?
Maddie.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Can you hear me all right? Because I know my service is terrible.
Lawless. We're good. You go. You speak.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, first of all.
How much have you drank tonight?
I won't say in public.
Go, Maddie. Go.
No, but so I wanted to know about what your first go-to would be with a young dog attacking a big dog in the household.
A young dog?
Kind of situation.
A young dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like 11 months old.
Okay, Maddie. I will explain right now.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Young dog attacking a big dog. That young dog did not sign up to have... That old dog did not sign up for you to bring a freaking young attacking dog into the house. You are not putting up with any of the nonsense. You're going to mark incorrect, as I say, right? When it does something you don't like, you're going to clap your hands. You're going to go grab that young dog, and you are going to operantly punish that dog. According to BF Skinner, the behavior then should drop off if the timing is correct and the punishment is enough. And you're going to do that over and over and over again. If it is not working, it could be mental illness. It could be that your timing is wrong, or it could be good that your punishment is not enough and you're going to keep doing it and you're not going to let up because your old dog did not sign up to be attacked by a dog. He lived there before that young dog. It's not rock science.
Who Garrett cares was about right. The old dog.
Garrett was right when he said we can fix these things quick. He kind of got me going where I'm going to be kind of over a bunch of nonsense. And there's nuance to this stuff, right?
But I think about like who cares about the old dog? It's all about the new dog.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
So let's just get a new puppy and then we'll just shower all of our love and affection on that one. And that'll be like the new favorite. It's kind of like a kid.
What happens when the older dog is Prince? Jason Corey last week talked about the process for bringing a new dog into the house. And I actually thought it was pretty good.
One more call. Let's go one more call.
I don't think I would necessarily have to do that. But that would be what he did would be good for people.
Okay. Let's get one more call.
I do like the call.
619-784-5580.
Get
out your rotary phone.
Hang up on them if it's just a dog question.
Okay. That sounds like
It's a great dog question, leave them on.
We're getting a good amount of calls here. It's almost like you just snap your fingers. We were getting calls
during the other calls constantly. You guys can't hear it. We can hear it on the headphones. It was like nonstop.
Yeah.
Now people think they're going to get hung up on. Hold on, please. We have to patch you in. Share screen. Boom. And go.
Hi. This is Crystal from Florida.
What part of Florida?
I'm from Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral area, but now I live near St. Augustine, Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I was just calling because you started on with Garrett saying that something about Florida and the hurricanes, and then you got cut off. And I wanted to hear you finish that thought.
Oh, I like it.
How you enjoyed South Florida or the vibes or something.
What a great question.
It is a great question. I like this question.
Someone was listening to the podcast.
You can leave her on or you can take her off. Whatever you want, Eric.
Hang tight.
Here's what I was going to say. I'm 48 years old and I grew up in Oregon and I grew up being a big football fan. And I would watch even the Gators, but like the Hurricanes. And I would see this sort of football crazy place. And I remember these night games were hot and humid. And this team came out that played like NFL players, these Miami Hurricanes of the 90s. And I thought this was a different level of football. And I just thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen because it was, and it, to a degree is, a different level of football. And I just loved Florida for that whole thing. Then I ended up living in Florida. And I saw that how football is different in Florida. And I just enjoyed it. And I learned a lot about the culture of Florida or a little bit from like football and following players and learning about their lives. And I just had this weird thing for Florida when I was younger. I grew up in Oregon. Like you couldn't possibly have a different place than Florida that is Oregon.
Hmm.
So that was kind of what I was going to say about that.
Awesome. That's neat. I didn't think you were going to go with the Florida and the football route. I was thinking the hurricanes and the weather.
Well, I have a whole nother really opinion on hurricanes, of which you probably have an opinion on hurricanes. I was there in 2005 when those three hurricanes came through central Florida.
Yes.
I live there. And I went outside after the first one. I was at SeaWorld and I was on the hurricane ride out team. So I stayed there and I had to... And I had to stay there with the whales, me and three other trainers, and we'd have to go out and feed them during the hurricane because the park was closed. And then I drove around afterwards and I could not believe
off-grid dogs training and behavior.
What it looked like. It just looked like just all the trees were gone. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And then all the ACs out. So people are driving around for like a week afterwards and everyone seems like they're ready to kill each other because nobody has slept. And from that point forward, I've been in fires, I've been in earthquakes, and I've been in hurricanes. I've always said hurricanes are the worst. They just, right? Like, aren't hurricanes just
good,
gnarly?
So good news and bad news.
The aftermath?
The bad news is I already hung up on her.
I hear her.
The good news is that I patched in off-grid dogs. I'm sorry I had to do that executive
We went from
decision.
Crystal from Florida
We're sorry,
to off-grid
Crystal.
Dogs.
But I saw off-grid, I had to take the call.
All right.
Crystal, the level of loyalty. Sorry, Crystal.
Off-grid dogs, what's up?
Call back next week, Crystal.
Guy. I'm
Hey, Joel and Eric, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Good. Make sure, have you drinking a six pack yet? Because we're only taking calls from people that have drinking a six pack.
Drinking?
Drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Drink.
I haven't drinking anything, no.
Good
no?
for you.
Okay.
Good.
What you got for us today?
So how do you feel about livestock guardian dogs being, you know, trained to, you know, follow commands and do all this stuff when they were, you know, bred not to do that?
I think he's been sitting on this question for a long time because he is a livestock guarding guy. You have Great Pyrenees, right?
Right.
One or many, I don't know.
Just one.
Here's what I think. People are getting them and they live in San Diego or they live in urban areas. I cannot stop that. It is happening. So they are bringing them to me. My only other option, do I think it's the best thing for those dogs? I do not, to live in these certain areas in these suburbs. I don't think it's best. It doesn't matter what I think, though. They have the dog and they're bringing them to me. So I believe that I need to help the person and the dog as much as I possibly can. But to your point, I think is that the best environment for them? It is not in any way. That's kind of what you think, right?
And I wasn't even speaking as much about the environment as I was about how you live with the dog. In other words, like with my Great Pyrenees, he's got zero behavior problems, but I wouldn't really call him trained because I don't really want to train him. I don't think he wasn't built for that. He was built
to
make his own decisions. And he does very well. He's very well behaved, you know, and we can communicate. He knows what we want and he's very cooperative, but you know, he doesn't look like a trained Malinois that's going to win the world championship.
And he never will.
But he's a sovereign individual.
Because that's not what I got. If I wanted that, I shouldn't have gotten the Great Pyrenees. My point.
Yeah.
What state do you live in?
I think he lives in Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. See,
Florida.
I know about the collars.
And does everyone live in Florida?
A lot. Yeah. Man.
Pretty much everybody moved here.
Yeah, that's COVID. True.
that makes sense.
Houses doubled in price in the last 2 years.
Well, I want to thank you for all of your great comments that you've put on. You've brought up a lot of great ideas, and from the pet food and that type of industrial complex stuff, that stuff has always been really interesting. So I want to say thank you for the great contributions.
Talking about it, that's a big issue for me.
Yeah, we talk about you a lot, man. So what's your name? I don't know your actual name.
Richard, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Richard. Yep. Thanks, bro. It's good to finally talk to you.
Yes, sir.
My pleasure.
Well
nice
done.
Talking to you guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye, Richard.
Oh, I wanted to do one more thing. Okay. I wanted to test to see if the do not disturb would.
Under duress is happy that Off Grid Dogs got on.
Yes.
I think those two guys are cut from the same cloth, as they say.
Yeah. They like to go back and forth in the comments. So what do you think of the podcast today? Do you want to do it again?
I don't know, bro.
Do you like live? Yes, no, live. Guys, what do you think? Live? Yes, no, live.
I like lives.
You like them?
Yeah.
I think there's just something.
I don't want to upload this podcast too. It's such a pain when it's live. It just uploads.
Yeah. It goes into a different live section. Obviously, we have to communicate it. But I like the call. I like people being able to call. There's so much. You get to see the feedback right away. We can have guests on still.
Yeah.
And since we don't practice or like edit the content anyways, might as well just go live.
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
Yeah.
As we like to say.
Wow, we've been on for an hour 30. That was good. I think we might keep doing live.
Oh,
I can literally not look at the comments and just do a normal podcast. Yeah, so why not just do a live?
Yeah. So my only question to you is Beckman coaching program. What is it? Why would someone want to do it?
To be a high level dog trainer, to leave your corporate, what seems to be not a great environment in the corporate world right now is just talking to them on a live about that. Mm. And you were there and we were talking about, it seems like a great time to do something you love in life. You only get one of these, one life, you only get one. And so do something you love. I believe with the Beckman coaching program, it's a 2-year program. You can cancel anytime, but we'd like for you guys to stay around for a long time. You can learn how to train dogs. Learn my ways. And they've got 30 some videos at this point. We're a month into it. I could make 1,000, right? And it's a deep dive into all my methods, private sessions, full private sessions, how to train a helper dog, a business, Gresham. Social media, how to leverage social media and be good on social media.
What if they're interested?
BeckmanVentures@gmail.com. We'll put it in the description. You're going to email us, tell us why you want to be a part of the program, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
If you're right for the program, then you can sign up.
I mean, this is a live. Are we even going to do that? BeckmanVentures@gmail.com. I put it in the chat. Tell us your background with dog training and why you want to be a part of the program. BeckmanVentures@gmail.com. The greatest program ever assembled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you all. Everyone, please leave your feedback about what you thought about it, pros and cons. I'd like to read that and understand, because this is kind of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we could get that noise to stop, everything would be even better.
That little beep when people comment.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys. See you next week.